Young man graduates from college. He's going to be going out for an interview for a job. And the first thing that he wants to do as he's going to this interview is he wants to look sharp. He wants to come into that interview looking like he is dressed for success. Now, he's got to be careful because he doesn't want to overdress the boss. But at the same time, he's got to be sharp enough that at first impression, just the way he looks, he's dressed for success. Now, if this young man was going to a football game at his college, he's going to be wearing his jersey. If the young man happened to be in the football game, he would want to make sure that his equipment fit him properly so that he would be able to have freedom of movement. At the same time, all of the pads would be in the right places to give him the protection that he needs. Today, we're going to be looking at this image of the Roman soldier. Roman soldiers would be traveling all throughout the known world at the time, and of course, especially for Paul, who would not only see them walking about, but he was in prison at the time he wrote this letter of Ephesians. He was actually chained to a soldier on a daily basis. And so within this image, it's very easy for Paul to see this physical image of the Roman soldier dressed for success that would be able to make this spiritual connection in which he's trying to give us a reality of what it is we need to be prepared for the warfare that he told us about last time. Let us take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Please join me in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6. Should be a very familiar book to you at this point. We've been here for about 10 or 11 months now. And so we're coming here down to the end, beginning at verse 14, Ephesians chapter 6. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, as we take a look here, the first thing we see is the belt of truth. Now, as was customary then, all men had a tunic that they wore on a garment, and this tunic was rather loose fitting. It was one of those basically one size fits all, in which you would have a hole cut for the head and for the arms. And so as you would have this baggy tunic on, it kind of made sure everything was covered. But if you had something you had to go do, it'd be much like us wearing a bathrobe. You know, we aren't going to leave the bathrobe out flailing around. We're going to cinch it up if there's something we've got to do, like go get the newspaper out the front door or something like that, or start the coffee, whatever we do in a bathrobe. The same idea here. If they had something to do, they're cinching up their tunic. Well, this is so they could more easily manage what they were doing and wouldn't be tripping over the extra fabric. Now, if this would be important for an ordinary citizen to do, it would be even more important for the soldier. Because obviously, as a soldier, you want to be able to move. You want to be able to handle what you need to do. So rather than having just a normal belt like a normal person would have, a soldier would have a much thicker, sturdier, stronger one, because not only was it cinching up his tunic, but he was also going to be using it for securing his sword, as well as for connecting his breastplate. So it was serving multiple purposes. But within this was the idea that this is what was preparing you to be able to be equipped for battle. So within that, we get this spiritual picture here of this belt, which is truth. Now, within this, you can see that if a soldier had his belt cinched up, that meant he was on duty. If he had his belt uncinched, then it meant he was off duty. And so that was their way of telling whether he was on or off. And I don't know what difference that would make. He's still carrying a sword. So he wasn't there. Now, within here, as you look at this verse 14, you're kind of losing the sense of a verb because it's kind of not in there. But really, what we have here is the phrase is basically saying, having belted yourself. In other words, there isn't someone else that's responsible for whether or not we have been belted. It is up to us. This is something we are to do for ourselves. We are to belt ourselves in truth. And as we're looking here at truth, we certainly know that as we all have this responsibility of preparing ourselves for this spiritual battle with truth. Truth is to invade and permeate every single aspect of the Christian life. That it is holding in sway, as it is doing this, it's holding us securely, that without truth, we won't be able to handle the sword, which is connected to the belt, properly. So truth is essential, truth is important. Secondly, we see, am I doing this? I must be. Sorry. I'm not good at standing still. Secondly, we come to the breastplate of righteousness. And as we've talked about before, righteousness can be one of those kind of big, long, scary biblical words. But within that, righteousness is basically doing right according to God. If you're doing right, that is righteousness. If you're not, doing right, then it's unrighteousness. What am I doing? If we're not doing right, it's unrighteousness. So as we're looking at this, the idea of putting on righteousness is it's very much saying that in terms of the spiritual warfare that we face, that if we are living according to what we know we are supposed to do, if we are doing right, it is preparing us for this battle. We are going to be able to keep Satan from getting a foothold in our life. We're going to keep him from being able to invade us. And so, very much what we do is that we have to... Okay. There, we'll try that. Maybe I should put my coat back on. Anybody like, is the plaid shirt too much, or are we okay? Take the glasses. Okay, we're moving on here. Okay, I'm going to have to get rid of this thing here in a minute. As we do this, the life that we live will be fortified against Satan if we're doing what we're supposed to do. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, in other words, we aren't living right, then the opposite is true. We're giving freedom of Satan to move in and attack us in this spiritual war. Thirdly, moving on, the gospel of peace. Now, here we can see that it's talking about this feet that are filled with readiness. That's a little bit of an awkward phrase, but what we're being filled with is readiness. Readiness for what? For doing whatever it takes. The Roman sandal was something that they had, it was a little bit thicker than the normal sandal. And the reason was, is they would embed pieces of metal and bone into the bottom of the sole of their sandal so that it gave them greater traction so they would be able to set their feet in battle and wouldn't slip. I mean, about the time somebody's ready to hit you with a great big sword is not the time to lose your footing. And so being sure-footed is very much what is being described here. Within this, we can see that peace is what gives us the security. It is peace that gives us sure-footedness in our life. And so peace is what is going to allow us to stand. And you have to say, this is almost a paradox, in which you have got the gospel of peace is the very thing that is equipping us for spiritual warfare. Next, notice the shield of faith. Now, within this shield, the Roman shield was 2 foot by 4 foot, in which it basically was going to be able to cover you up, that regardless of what was coming at you, it was going to be able to deflect it. Now, even though the shield was made of wood, it would be faced. It would be covered in either metal or leather. And the reason is that it would then deflect a spear, an arrow, or what was sometimes popular in the day was a fiery dart or arrow that would be coming at you that would be dipped in pitch and it would be lit on fire. So that as it came firing at you, if it would hit your shield, it would still splatter and cause tremendous burn. And so you didn't want this stuff to land on you. But to have the leather on the front, they would soak it in water before the battle. And so that as the fiery darts would hit the leather, it would quickly extinguish the fiery dart. So it's within this picture that we can see that in the same way, spiritually, faith is what is going to keep Satan's fiery darts from burning us. We get this idea that, wow, we're going to be okay here. And it is faith. It is our faith that does this. Now, within this, we know that if we are not exercising faith, if we are not exercising dependence upon God, then it is going to fall upon us. We are going to be in a situation that we are not going to be shielding ourselves from his attacks. It's like setting the shield down. But you know, there's another aspect about this shield that's pretty remarkable. And within that, the Roman shields were able, they had ridges on the edges in which they could lock them together. And there was known of Roman legions that would be up to a mile wide. And they would be able to go after the enemy and they would just be like this solid wall that would just mow down everything it came across because there was no separation. There was no breaking through. There was no getting past the shield. Spiritually, we need to grab a hold of the fact that as we're talking about this shield of faith, it's a remarkable picture for us. That this shield that I must have to protect myself will not only protect myself, but as I stand with my shield, with my brothers and sisters, that their shields as well, we will not only protect ourselves, we will protect others around us. And that there is not only an individual aspect to this being prepared for spiritual warfare, but there's a corporate aspect to it as well that we need to always keep in mind. Okay, so as Satan attacks, obviously our way of being set against that is to be prepared and to walk in faith. If we are surrendered to the Lord, we are trusting God, then our faith is going to protect us and others around us. Next, we come to the helmet of salvation. Now, it's interesting, the order here is basically the order that the soldier's going to be putting things on. And you can see that he's kind of saving the helmet for last, with the exception of picking up his sword. And the reason is that the helmet was kind of hot and heavy. And so it wouldn't be something that was real comfortable to wear. And so that you wouldn't have it on unless you really needed to. It did protect the head. It was vital to have for protection, but yet it was uncomfortable. So here we can see that they're putting it on last. Now, as they put it on last, we get the picture here spiritually that we are protecting ourselves in a spiritual matter, in which they're talking about the protection of the head. And here we can see that Paul is applying it spiritually to protecting our mind. Satan loves to attack the mind. That's what he did with Eve in the garden. He went after her mind. He wanted to get her in a position that he would create doubt about the goodness of God, that he would be in a situation of being able to capitalize, to infiltrate, to make his attack on Eve at the point in which she did not believe God. So we can see also he tried the exact same tactic against Jesus as he went out to be tempted in the wilderness. He did the same thing. He was appealing to the mind. So we can see that he's kind of got this idea that he wants to go after the mind. Now, we've got to be real careful here that we don't try to picture ourselves as somehow faith is opposed to intellect. But rather, these two are supposed to be working in tandem together, because it is only through a strong mind, a mind that is surrendered to God, that we will grow as Christians, that we will be able to seek the benefit of one another. Unless we are thinking right, we are not going to achieve victory in our Christian life. So we can see here that this protection of the mind is very much important. You know, it is so correct to think that the mind is part of our faith experience, not apart from it. And so within this, you know, if we have a surrendered mind to God, then Satan cannot lead us astray. If we do not have a mind that we are trying to place under God's authority, then through our mind, Satan will attack and look to lead us astray. Next, we see the sword of the Spirit. And it's like, okay, here we go with the sword of the Spirit. Now, this sword here that they're speaking of is the short sword. And this is the one that was specifically designed for hand-to-hand combat. Because the broad sword would be more something that you would be brandishing at a little bit more of a cavalry-type charge or distance, throwing of spears, these kind of things. This Roman short sword is known as the weapon that conquered the whole world. As they would move in a legion, and they would be in here close, they would actually go in three lines. In the first line, they would have the young bucks that are just new Roman soldiers that are up there trying to wear out the enemy. And in the second line would be your more experienced warriors. And then in a third line, you would have the most experienced. And within this, as the young guys are getting tired out, they would slip back through the lines as the second line moved in. And the same thing, so that there was this constant front battle of the Roman army that you were having to deal with. And as they are coming with these short swords, just arm and arm, just right next to each other with their shields and everything else, it became almost impenetrable. I mean, that sword physically was used to pretty much conquer the whole known world at the time. How does this relate to us? How do we spiritually apply this? Well, we know that the sword they're talking about here is the Word of God. We know that because it says that. And over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it speaks very clearly of the fact that the Word of God is just like a sword. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We're talking spiritual surgery here. The Word of God is able to do that. In contrast to the Roman short sword that gets duller with use, within the life of the Christian, the sharpness of the Word of God becomes ever greater the more that it is used. And so we can see this effect that the sword of the Spirit, though it can be a defensive weapon, is the only one in the list here of the armor that can also be used as an offensive weapon. And so within this, it's so neat to know that though it has been given as an offensive weapon, unlike the Roman sword that will hurt and kill, this sword will heal and give life. When we use the Word of God on Satan and his cohorts that are attacking us spiritually, we place ourselves in the position that it will cripple his efforts to slow down, to hinder God's work in our life and in those around us. So this is essential for us to grab a hold of. Verse 18, we come to prayer. And I just love the way this happens. Paul doesn't give us this list of armor and he says, now go do it. He lists the armor and then he says, let's pray. We got to pray because here's the energy. You want the energy to get dressed up for war. You want the energy to get dressed for spiritual success. It's got to be in utter and complete dependence upon God. This whole attitude that we get in the New Testament, that we are always to have an attitude of prayer at all times. It's just drawing on that close communion with God, that we are so connected, so tied into God, that it is just absolutely indispensable for us to be able to do anything else if we haven't prayed about it first. And it's so interesting to know that this prayer enables the Christian to wear the armor and to wield the sword. We cannot fight in our own strength. It does not matter how strong or how talented we are. If we attempt to fight the powers of darkness in our own strength, we're going to fail. This is a spiritual battle. It has to be fought with spiritual resources. And that is exactly what God has given us. So every single piece of armor we put on with prayer. Let me give you three things here to kind of send you home with as we look at these, just trying to wrap this up. Number one, Satan attacks with ease. We get that Satan is going to come at us and he is going to throw those things at us that are going to give us discouragement, that may create for us doubt, that may throw us into temptation. I do all sorts of these very direct things. But I think one of the greatest ways that Satan attacks us in the spiritual battle is to slide in the lazy boy, is to give us a remote control for the TV. Because if he can get us to feel comfortable just for a moment, that we settle in, it's like, I'll put the armor on tomorrow. There is no easier way for God to defeat us than to give us leisure, to give us ease. Praise be to God when things are a little bit tough. Because it's then and only then when we throw ourselves at him going, God, I cannot do this one on my own. I really, really need your help. And at that point, God goes, I've been here all the time. I've been waiting for you to ask. Satan attacks us with ease. Secondly, every single bit of this armor is Jesus Christ. We look in here and we can see that within this, we have got that it speaks of Jesus is the truth. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. Peace. You know, we know from, hold on 1 second. I wrote that too small. Okay, Ephesians 2:14. You can jump back a few pages. Ephesians 2:14. And you have got, for he himself is our peace. Galatians 2:20. We can see that Christ is our faith. Notice in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Over in Luke 2:30, it speaks of this, how Christ is our salvation. And within him being our salvation, this is Simeon talking as he has seen the Lord. Verses 29 and 30 of Luke chapter 2. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. He's going, hey, I've seen what I needed to see. I can go on to glory now. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Christ is our salvation. And in John chapter 1, we know that Jesus is the Word of God. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Drop down verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, if we are looking at this armor, it's like, wow, when we trusted Christ, we received all of this armor. And yet, practically, we are being asked to daily appropriate this armor in our life. So there's the part that Jesus has done for us in our salvation, and yet there's that part we add to it, our own life, speaking of the very things that Jesus has given to us that we are to live out, we are to demonstrate. It is our faith. It is our living right in righteousness. It is our holding to the truth that will empower us to withstand the attacks of the devil. Number three. Do not omit any. Satan will attack any unguarded spot we've got. In this very book of Ephesians, back in chapter 4 and verse 27, it speaks of giving Satan a foothold to come after us. And the way that can happen is we haven't put the whole armor on. There's something about it we forgot. And within this, as we look at this passage and we think about getting ourselves dressed for spiritual success, Paul tells us to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to be victorious in our lives. Father, we just thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, thank you for giving us your truth. We just pray we may walk in it. Lord, you are our armor. May we find ourselves that what was given to us by Christ, we now live in Christ.